Hallelujah. There is nothing like the love of Jesus. The love of Jesus is what enables us all to come together. It's what empowers us. It's what strengthens us. It's what enables us. The power of God. And without God's power in our life, we will find it hard-pressed to fulfill the will of God, the call of God, to be able to do what the Word of God says we ought to do. That's when the power avails itself. And as soon as we begin to do what the Word of God says, that's when things begin to happen. If we don't do what the Word of God says, then nothing will happen. But when you do what God says to do, that's when everything begins to change. And that is why it's so important to experience the love of God. Because that is what motivates us. That is what enables us and strengthens us. It is knowing that God loves us. And he sent his son to die in our place. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no washing away, remission of sins, cleansing from sin. There is no way for you and I to be reconciled to God. And that's what he does. He is a reconciler. He brings us back to himself. All we need to do is trust him, have faith in him, love him, and allow him to work in the midst of our lives. So we thank you, Shari, for that awesome song. How awesome it is to be reminded of the power of God's love. Hallelujah. And what an anointing there is in the room after that song, and just the Spirit of God moving in the midst of us. And God has been manifesting himself all day today, and he's been moving in the midst of his people. And we are in love with the fact that God loves us. And we are grateful for his presence and to be able to experience God for ourselves. And so our theme for today is bring your fragments, as we are talking about being able to overcome the challenges in this world, the things of hardship and difficulty that we face. God is calling us to be the people of God, to be able to stand even in the midst of darkness. You and I must learn how to bring our fragments. Pastor Michal was talking earlier about our need to be ready when opportunities come. And opportunities are always coming to us, and God is opening doors and he's making a way for us. And so often the people of God are always after the fact. We show up with not enough oil, and we have to make sure that we are ready when the time comes. And that's what God is trying to get us to get, to get us to understand the importance of bringing our fragments. Bring them now, so when the door opens, we have what we need to move forward. And this is what God is trying to get us to grasp in our everyday lives. As the days become more and more evil, we need to be spiritually strengthened and ready. We're living in a day where people have forgotten that narrow is the way that leads to life. There are few who enter into it. And I would challenge you to make sure that you are among the few that are on that narrow road. Not everyone is on the narrow road, even though they may know what the Bible says and what it teaches. They may watch various teachings online. They may be students of all of these things. But if you're not an actual doer, then all that you know is in vain. We must learn how to obey and fulfill the will of God so that we are literally bringing our fragments before the Lord, because he is the supplier of all of our needs. And so I would like to begin today here in Exodus chapter 16 as we take a look at what the experience of Moses and the Israelites was as they went through the wilderness. you and I are going through a type of wilderness experience. And as we are going through our lives, we must have faith in God. We must not only say we have faith in God, but we must demonstrate that we have faith in God. We must prove it by obeying and applying biblical principles in our life so that we can reap the harvest of God's blessing. And so verse 4 in Exodus 16 says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them whether or not they will walk in my instruction.'" And so here is God speaking to Moses, and he is telling Moses that he is going to rain down bread from heaven for the people, for the Israelites, and that each day they would go out and get a portion. And the reason they would go out each day is because it would go bad or it would go stale by the end of the day. So you had to go gather what you needed for the day and bring it into your household. And that is a picture of how God provides for his people. He provides now so that we will have what we need throughout the day. And each day we must counter our experiences with our coming back to God. You and I must come to God each day, and God will provide our daily bread. He will provide what we need for that day. And so I would like to use as a theme today, coming down. Coming down. Well, are you ready for the word of the Lord today? Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, join me as we pray. Well, Lord, we are thankful for your word. We ask, oh God, that you would indeed rain down on us all that we need each day. I pray, God, that you would provide your provision for your people, that we would be able to have confidence in having faith and trust in you. We rebuke the devourer that would come to rob, kill, and destroy, to hinder us from having faith in you, from trusting in you, that we would be able to do all that you have called us to do, knowing that you are abundantly more able to do what we could ever ask or imagine, that you are able to exceed those things and even cause things that we would not expect to come to pass in the midst of us. We thank you, Lord, for coming down in the midst of us, that your will may be done in our lives and that you may be lifted up and exalted in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, the blessings of God are coming down. The provision of God is coming down. God always provides for his people. Every source of provision, every type of provision that you and I have, it comes down from above. The word of God says every good and perfect gift comes from above. It's coming down. It is not based on anything that you and I are doing or what we can do. It's not anything that is in and of our own strength, but it is what we do according to the faithfulness of God. And because God is faithful and he is watching over us as we are faithful, then the blessing and the provision of God keeps coming. And God always honors his word and enables us to overcome as we abide in his word, as we apply his word in our lives. And so you and I need to rise up in the strength and in the power of the Spirit of God by tapping in to what is coming down from God, by being aware of what is coming down from God. This is part of the exchange that we have been talking about. As we sow, we will also reap. If you sow the will and the word in the ways of God, then you will reap the blessings of God that will come down. God will provide whatever fragments you need so that you might have a witness and a testimony to share of all that God is able to do. Not just for you, but for your children and your children's children. Your life will become a living testimony. You will even be able to prevail beyond whatever the times are, the seasons, and the situations that you find yourself in. And so in Exodus chapter 16, we see this story of how the Israelites were moving through the wilderness and God was teaching them. Remember, the wilderness experience is an opportunity to learn how the kingdom of God works, how the kingdom of God operates as we live our lives out in this world. You and I can look back to this testimony or story or historical account of the Israelites' passage through the wilderness and equate that to our everyday lives. Your life and my life is relevant to this experience that we see here in Exodus and Numbers. God is calling his people to learn so that we can not make the same mistakes that they made, but be able to prevail beyond the times that we are in. And so, verse 1 says, "Then they set out from Elim, and all the congregation of the sons of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim," which means or is a desolate place, "and Sinai, the mountain of God. And on the 15th day of the second month after their departure from the land of Egypt." And so you and I are on a type of journey, even as the Israelites also were on this journey. You and I are living in a life of sin. We are living in a world of sin, and we are operating in the place of darkness. And that is why you and I must be doers of the word in order to be shiners of the light of Christ. It's not until we do what the word of God says that we're able to shine the light of Christ. Without being a doer of the word, there is no light for you to shine. And so our faith and our trust in Christ leads to obedience to the word of God that enables us to shine by the aiding of the Spirit of God, who enables us to reflect the kingdom of God. And so we're on a journey from or through a desolate place to the mountain of God, the place where God provides, or the place where God gives instruction and direction. Our journey is to always to be able to make it so that we can hear what God is saying, so we can get to where he wants us to ultimately be. The Israelites were on their way to the promised land. They were on their way to a land flowing with milk and honey. You and I are persevering through these last and evil days in order to get to the place that Jesus is preparing for us, that where he is, we may be also, that we might be able to make it to heaven or the kingdom of God. That is where we are ultimately going. But to get there, we must live a life of faithfulness to God in obedience to his word. It is the doers of his word that are able to overcome. It is doers of the word who have victory in their lives because God works for them. He fights for them. He enables them. He watches over them. This is what the Israelites had to learn. And so as they were going through the wilderness, they found themselves in need of more food. They felt that they didn't have enough food, or at least enough different types of food. And even though they had their cattle with them and their sheep and all of the various other forms of meat that they had with them in their lives, they found themselves needing bread. And everybody who enjoys a good meal with meat knows that you need bread to go along with meat. Isn't that right? If you want to have a good stew or any type of maybe yelva soup, you know, you need a piece of bread to go along with that. Hallelujah. You need something to sop up the gravy. Hallelujah. And so the Israelites found themselves in need of bread. And so they went for a while and they began to complain about their lack of bread and a lack of diversity in their ability to cook meals. And so God heard this cry and this prayer. Verse 2 says, the whole congregation of the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. That tells us everyone was complaining. Everyone was looking for some bread. And so God then speaks to Moses and he tells them exactly what to do. And so these are the things that we find the Israelites saying in verse 3. The sons of Israel said to them, would that we had died by the Lord's hand in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat, when we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. These are the things that were being said of God in the wilderness. They were blaming him for bringing them out of Egypt and putting them in the wilderness to die of hunger. Now, they already had other things to eat. They just didn't have bread. And so they were complaining about all of this that they had. And this is a picture of what happens when the people of God lose sight of what God is doing in their lives, or what God has done in your life. When you forget where God has brought you from, they're able to remember, I remember back in the day, all these great things we had to eat. We were in Egypt sitting around with pots of meat, and we had bread to the fullest. We had so much bread. Oh my goodness, we never ran dry. Oh, you brought us out here to kill us with hunger. This is the mindset of the people as they went through the wilderness. And this ought not be your mindset or my mindset. We need to be able to remember. They didn't remember how they had to actually build bricks without straw. They forgot about that. They forgot about how the Egyptians were oppressing them and how they were being tormented and beaten, and they were enslaved by the people of Egypt. They completely forgot that, but they could sure remember pots of meat. They could sure remember how they had plenty of bread. So often you hear people who are always talking about the way things were when they were in the world or when they were in sin. And they get a big smile on their face as they talk about their sinfulness and their sinful ways and their past and all the evil that they were involved in. And they forget how they were in bondage, lost in their sin, on their way to hell in a place of eternal damnation. They forgot how they were not able to commune with God and experience the liberty of the Spirit of God, and how he was a healer, and how he was a deliverer, and how he opens doors that no man can shut, how he makes a way even when it seems impossible, and how he is able to do abundantly more than we could ever ask or imagine. These are the things that people tend to forget. Their memory is short. They fail to recall how when they were sick, God enabled them and they were recovering, and how they were able to see God's provision when they were in times of need, how when their lives were a mess, God stepped in and began to bring order into their lives out of the chaos that the world automatically establishes among us. And so the Israelites were also in this same mentality. They were operating in this place where they forgot how they were not the head, but they were the tail. And God was now making them the head and not the tail. And so the Lord, in verse 4, speaks to Moses, and he says, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them whether or not they will walk in my instruction. The saints of God, the blessings of God are not just for the sake of blessing us, but they are providing an opportunity as you and I recognize the blessings of God to determine what we will do from that point on. many people, after they are blessed, after God provides for them, they turn their back on God. They get what they want, and then they move on to do whatever it is that the devil brings into their minds to do. And you and I have to learn how to be faithful to God. That when God blesses us, when he provides for us, when he makes a way for us, our responsibility is to walk in his instruction, to be faithful to God, to never forget what he has done in our lives. Never forget what he has delivered us from. Never forget the oppression and the bondage and the weight of sin that you feel when you are disconnected from God. We must remember and hold on and be faithful to God. And so we know that God is able to provide for us as we look at the Israelites as they persevere through the wilderness, because God delivered them from the Egyptians. God brought them through the Red Sea on dry land. He enabled them to overcome the challenges of those who were whining and complaining. And he was able to separate the congregation from those who were faithful and willing to follow God and those who were not. They saw the reality of God. They knew that God was who he says he is. They knew that God was active and involved in their transporting from Egypt into the promised land. God was in the midst of them. And yet they still complained. And you and I must learn how to overcome that complaining spirit. We must learn how to point out to others who are operating with a complaining spirit so that they too may be delivered from it. We need to be able to recognize the blessing and the provision of God as he is looking to us to be faithful one day at a time. Can you trust God one day at a time? Can you trust God for today? Can you reap of his provision for today? Can you look to God for one day? Can you be grateful just for one day? Can you be thankful for his provision just for one day? Well, verse 31 of chapter 16 says, the house of Israel named it manna, that which came down from heaven. And it was like coriander seed, it says. It was white, and its taste was like wafers with honey. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Could you imagine this? It rained down from God out of heaven, and it tastes like wafers. And I always think of, when I think of wafers, I think of those vanilla wafers. You know those little vanilla wafers? Yeah, you know, you sell them at Stewart's in the little package there. And a little vanilla wafers with a little honey. Yeah, it makes me want to try it out now. I want to get some and dip it in a little honey to see what that tastes like. And that manna, it sounds good. It really sounds good. And the blessings of God always start out good. We're always grateful in that moment when God provides. When you've been calling on God and asking God to help and to provide, and all of a sudden, God answers prayer. This is a good thing. It is a beautiful thing. This is what the manna looks like. This is what a coriander seed looks like. And so it kind of is a different picture of what I had in my mind back in when I first learned about this. I was thinking it was a little different, especially when they said it was like wafers. You know, I was thinking it was little chips kind of, you know, maybe like, you know, potato chips falling out of heaven. You know, maybe that was just me, and you know, I was thinking, maybe Lay's was the supplier of manna from heaven, but I guess not. You know, these things, I don't think I would look at that and say, wow, that looks like wafers and honey. I don't think I would have thought that. But here is what the manna looked like, and it was kind of this type of thing that they made into bread, and they would grind it and mold it and shape it into bread. And so verse 31 says, the house of Israel named it manna, and it was like coriander seed, white, and its taste was like wafers with honey. And then Moses said, this is what the Lord has commanded. Let an omerful of it be kept throughout your generations. that they may see the bread that I fed you in the wilderness when I brought you out of the land of Egypt. Saints of God, when God provides for you, it's so that you can have a testimony that you can pass on to your children and your children's children. Your life experience is a testimony of how God is bringing you through your wilderness experience, how God is watching over you and providing for you. It's a testimony of what happens when you're faithful to God and when you are not. So often, you encounter people who are in the house of God that one minute they're following God and the next minute they're not. And as you watch their lives and their life experience, you can actually watch as God is watching over them, as God makes a way for them when they repent and turn from God, and then how he begins to withdraw the blessing and chaos and confusion come in when disobedience begins to kick in. It's very interesting to watch people's lives. And being a pastor, I get to watch a lot of people's lives. And it's so easy to be able to see what faithfulness to God will bring about in a person's life. When you're faithful to God, how faithful he is to you, how he will redeem you, how he will liberate you, how he will set the captives free. He will bring transformation. He will bring healing, renewal, and revival. He will cause old things to pass away, and behold, all things will be made new. God is able to do all these things. And this is what the Israelites were learning in the wilderness. They also learned what happens when people are complaining. There was a man named Korah who stirred up complaining and chaos and confusion. And at one point, God had enough. And the ground opened up and they were swallowed up. And another time, there was fire that swept through and consumed everyone who was whining and complaining. I would submit to you, be careful what you're saying when God is at work. Be careful of what your response is when God is at work. It is so important to be faithful to God. I tell you, I never learned about the faithfulness of God until I got out on my own. And I began to see the faithfulness of God. And it didn't matter whether I was looking for a place to live, an apartment, or looking for things to be able to live and do what needed to be done, looking for jobs and all these things. I've learned that they who call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Hallelujah. It is a lesson that we all must learn. We must learn the faithfulness of God. Moses learned this lesson, and the people of Israel also learned this lesson. And so he says to take an omerful, and that is a portion or a tenth of the bushel that they had. And so they took that, and they took a tenth of the tenth, and they would put it inside a jar that was to be saved. I believe it was in the Ark of the Covenant, and they were able to keep it as a testimony as to the faithfulness of God. You and I need to have a witness that our children can look at and remember the faithfulness of God. And we need to tell our story to our children. Your story ought to be told to your children so that they can see how God was faithful to you, so that they too can learn how to trust in God. In this way, when they begin to stray and go their own way, they will begin to see, as things shift away from the favor of God to a place of chaos and confusion, that they will learn they can call on God and be redeemed. You and I have gone through life experiences, and we know how important it is to be able to call upon the name of the Lord, know how important it is to be able to trust in him. And when we call on his name, God redeems his people. He redeems us because he cares that much for us. And so we need to have a witness and a testimony to pass on. And so Moses said to Aaron, take a jar and put an omer full of manna in it and place it before the Lord to be kept throughout your generations. You and I need to hold on to our testimony. We need to hold on to our story of how God is able to do abundantly more than we could ever ask or imagine. That we would be able to say, God is faithful. And so in verse 34, he says, as the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron placed it before the testimony to be kept. And the sons of Israel ate the manna 40 years until they came to an inhabited land. They ate the manna until they came to the border of the land of Canaan, the land flowing with milk and honey. You and I will experience God's faithfulness and his provision in our lives until we too get to the land of Canaan, until we get to the day when we will stand before the Lord, when we will be able to enter into the kingdom of God. Your life experience ought to be a living witness and a testimony to the faithfulness of God. I pray that you know the faithfulness of God today. I pray that you're able to remember and recognize what God has done for you, not just the things that were provided in general, but that you would know the whole story. Satan always wants you to remember a portion of the story. But God says, remember the whole story, the rest of the story, how you were in bondage and in sin, how he delivered you and he made a way for you, even when it seemed impossible, how he was able to provide and make things happen that otherwise would not have happened except God would have intervened. These are the things that we have to remember. Remember what God has done. Numbers 11, 4-9 says, the rabble who were among them had greedy desires. And also the sons of Israel wept again and said, who will give us meat to eat? And so here they were amongst the grumblers, the rabblers, those people who were complaining, and they had something negative to say because they were greedy. They had greedy desires. Oh, saints of God, I pray that you do not have greedy desires today. I pray that you are being freed from greed and every selfish way, everything that would press your will above the will of God, that you are desiring to do things for yourself and not according to the will of God. God is looking to enable us, but we must be able to overcome the greedy desires of the rabbler. I pray that you can overcome the rabbling that is operating in your life and all around us today, that we would be able to hold on to the faithfulness of God. The Israelites complained and they even wept, saying, who will give us meat to eat? Oh my goodness gracious. Here they are crying out to God, who ended up sending them quail and manna so that they could have additional food as they went through the wilderness. And so verse 5 says, we remember the fish which we used to eat free in Egypt, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. Oh, saints of God, can you smell that sizzling in a pan right now? Oh, they're remembering all the good food in Egypt that they had, but they still weren't remembering all of the suffering that they had to endure. They didn't remember how they were enslaved in Egypt. They didn't remember how they were in oppression and bondage. They didn't understand how important it was for them to remember the whole story. You and I must remember the whole story. We must remember everything about the past, about what God has brought us out of. You see, wherever there is evil, there is also some good. Every good lie has some truth to it. And we all know that that is a fact. Even Satan took the word of God and used it to try to manipulate Jesus. The word that he was using against Jesus was true. It was right and it was accurate, but he was using it in the wrong way. His application was not correct. He was abusing the word of God. And that doesn't mean that it's not true. It just means that it is not rightly being rightly divided. And you and I must learn how to rightly divide the truth in our lives. In everything that we're experiencing, all that is taking place, we must be able to rightly divide it. It's not just enough to remember the melons and the leeks and the onions and garlic. Ooh, the fresh cucumbers and all that we were able to enjoy in the world. God says, remember the sinful state you were in. Remember the condition that you were in, how you were separated from God, how you had to prevail and prevail on your own and in your own strength, how you lacked any of God's divine interventions because of your disconnect from God, how you were not able to experience his presence and a fresh anointing each and every day. God says, remember the whole story. Remember that I am with you and I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am your provider. I am your source of life, health, and strength. And if you put your faith and trust in me, you shall overcome. You will prevail beyond the times. This is what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us. Verse 6 says, but now our appetite is gone. There is nothing at all to look at except this manna. Manna is everywhere. They were eating all types of manna. It says, now the manna was like coriander seed and its appearance like that of bdellium. And the people would go about and gather it and grind it between the two millstones, or they would beat it in the mortar and they would boil it in a pot and they would make cakes with it. And its taste was as the taste of cakes baked with oil. Hallelujah. That's powerful. God could take something that tasted like wafers and honey and cause it to be able to be used in a cake that would give the same results as if they were using oil. That's a miracle of God. You would think they would be blessing the name of the Lord for that. But I guess after 40 years of every day, manna oatmeal, manna eggs and manna bacon, and manna sausage, and manna burgers, and manna fries, manna chips, quail and manna. Every day they were using this manna to create different meals. They were being as creative as they could to come up with different ways to use manna, because every day there was a fresh pile. There was a fresh resource. That's the faithfulness of God. God says, you're praying for this? You want this? Now you got it. You'll have it today and it'll be there tomorrow and the day after that and the next day and the next day and the next day. Now you've got what you want. You've got your prayers answered. God answers prayer, doesn't he? He provides for his people. He makes a way for us. And this is what happens when God provides. He abundantly provides. He gives you more than what you could ever ask or imagine. And this is what the people received. And you would think they would be grateful. They would be giving thanks to God. Because now, every day, they didn't have to buy food. They didn't have to worry about where it was going to come from. God made a way. Every day, it came down from God above. It rained down from heaven. The blessings of God come down. They rain down from heaven. And that is what God is doing in the midst of our lives. He is providing for us. He is saying, trust me. Look to me. Don't complain about my blessings. Don't complain about all the things that God is doing for you and that he is providing for you. You might be sick and tired of your old car, but it's faithful. You may be sick and tired of your house and all the things going on in your home, or maybe going wrong. You got to fix this and you got to fix that. Or maybe you're tired of your job and you're just sick of all the stuff that you have to do at work, and it's hard and it's this and it's that. And there's always something to complain about. But saints of God, it's your daily bread. God is making provision for you. God is making a way for you. God is using it so that you can accomplish his will, so that you can get through the desert place to the mountain of God, so that you can receive and experience all that God has for you to receive. And so Paul says in 2 Corinthians 9:6-8, now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. And so as you sow, so you will reap. As you are faithful to God, God will be faithful to you. God is your source of all your fragments. You see, the manna, when it came down in the form of seed fragments, it was something they could compile into a good meal, a tasty meal. Oh, it didn't taste like oats when the manna came down from heaven. Oh my goodness, could you imagine if it tasted like oats? It didn't. It tasted like something that had nice flavor to it. It tasted like wafers with honey. And God wants to sweeten up the things in your life. The blessings of God are sweet to your life. They are able to provide nourishment while at the same time provide enjoyment. You need to be grateful. We need to be thankful for what God is doing, for his provision. Even the mundane, routine things that we take for granted every day, over and over and over again, God is faithful. He will bountifully supply if we are faithful to him, if we are able to recognize and acknowledge all that he has done. We can sow into the kingdom of God. God provides so that you can sow, so that you can be a doer of his word, so that you can accomplish his will and his purposes in your life. Verse 7 says, each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. God has called us to give. That is why he blesses us. That is why the blessings of God come down, so that you can use it for the purpose of the kingdom of God, getting through the wilderness, being able to overcome obstacles, challenges, and difficulties, so that you can be made the head and not the tail. God is calling his people. We are a people who are operating as the tail. And I say that sorrowfully. And you can tell as you even watch the habits of people. When there is an event that God orchestrates for people to be ministered to and blessed by it, they always sign up at the last minute. They wait till the day before, the week before, the time right before the end. That's the tail instead of the head. Having the vision and the foresight to say, God is making provision for me. God is making a way for me. I need to receive this. There's a reason God has been causing this to happen. I need to be a part of this. Let me be among the first to sign up, to get into it, to get involved, so I can reap immediately my space so that I am not shut out. This is the mindset we ought to have. But instead, we wait to see if something better is going to come along for us to do. And God will cause us to miss out on his provision, to miss out on his blessing, simply because we failed to recognize when we heard. The day we heard his voice, we would not harden our hearts. I pray that when ministry for you comes, when the opportunity comes for you to receive and to be able to learn and grow in the things of God, that you would be able to recognize the importance of being the head and not the tail. Be among the first to sign up or to connect or to be a part of it, rather than wait until you can figure out something else. No, be among the first. Be up front. God is one who gives us vision and foresight. Vision and foresight. And when you have vision and foresight, the Holy Spirit enables you to recognize, that is something I need to do. That is something I need to be in. He who hesitates is lost. The one who is faithful and is able to persevere, God will make a way for you. He will open doors. He will enable you to prevail so that you will become the head and not the tail. This is why you must sow, and you must sow according to the provision that God has given you. It says in verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, not in some things, in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. And so God is saying that he is able to make grace come your way. Or when challenges and difficulties come your way, or when you find yourself in a time of trouble, grace will abound. It will overflow. That's what it means to abound. You will have not only enough, but you will have even extra so that you can abound in the grace of God. You will not only have sufficiency, but you will have sufficiency in every part of your life, everything that you do. God will make a way for you. Your well will never run dry. He will never let you be left in darkness, but he will always be the light and the strength and the source in your life. God is able to provide all sufficiency in everything, and that you may have an abundance, so that you will be able to continually do the will of God, the good deeds. You will be able to be a blessing. You will be able to be a helper, one who is able to meet the needs as they arise. You will be able to provide as God has so enabled you. You will be able to sow that you might reap bountifully. God has called us to be able to have faith in God. I pray that you have faith in God. I pray that you are looking up, because the blessings of God are abounding and they're coming down. I pray that you're able to look up and see the blessing of God as it comes down. Philippians 4:11, Paul says, "Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am." This is where the Israelites struggled. They had a lack of contentment. They weren't satisfied with what God was doing. And they began to complain when they didn't have bread, when they felt like they needed to have more meat. They complained before God. And so God provided for 40 years, and they complained for the rest of the time that it was too much, that they were tired of it, that all they have is manna. Manna, 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 manna. Saints of God, people are always going to complain. People are always going to find something to complain about. Just make sure you are not one of them. Just make sure you don't get drawn into that mentality and that mindset. Don't allow the complainers to have you consumed when the ground opens up and the fire sweeps through. Don't allow the complainers to have a rule and a rein and an anchor in your life that will cause you to lose sight of where God has brought you from, of what he has done in your life, of how he has blessed you in this place, under the place and the roof of the covering of the Spirit of God. As you travel through the wilderness, God has made a way for you. And he has provided, and he has enabled you, and he has shown you his glorious and wondrous works. God has shown you his faithfulness, and you and I need to hold on to the faithfulness of God, that we might be able to say like Paul, "I am able to be content no matter what the circumstances are that I'm in." He says in verse 12, "I know how to get along with humble means, and I know how to get how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry." Both of having abundance and suffering need. Saints of God, God is able to see you through. No matter what your situation, you and I need to be grateful. We need to be thankful. We need to always be looking up. We need to always realize that the blessing is coming down. Everything we need is coming down. Look up to God. Look unto God so that you will be able to see what God is providing for. If you keep looking down, you're only going to see problems. You're only going to see hindrances. You're only going to hear complaining. You're only going to hear the challenges and see all the difficulties. But saints of God, when you look up, hallelujah, God is going to rain down the blessing on your life. You will see what's coming down. You will see the blessing of God. You will see the hand of God, the faithfulness of God. Oh, I pray that you see that God has abundance for you. He has abundance for you. Verse 18 of Philippians 4 says, "But I have received everything in full." I love that. In full. Don't you love when God provides everything in full? You have everything that you need. You stepped out in faith. You trusted God, and God met you at your place of need with everything in full. He says, I have an abundance. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus. He says, what you sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. This is an important foundation, because if you notice, it says that Epaphroditus provided. They made sacrifices and they sent financial provision to Paul to make sure he had what he needed. And he said, I have everything in full. He even had an abundance. In other words, he had an overflow. He had extra so that he could be a blessing. Have you ever given in such a way that the blessing of God may be in abundance? Have you ever given in such a way where it was a sacrifice for you to give and you did it anyway because of your faithfulness to God? Because you realize God has been faithful to you? You realize the reason you have what you have is because God wanted you to sow it back into the kingdom of God so that the will and the ways and the things of God may be accomplished, so that the good deeds of the Lord may be done. Oh, saints of God, when you realize that importance, that is when you will reap the harvest of God's provision in abundance. And so it says that Epaphroditus, that they gave and they sent it, it was like a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing, not to Paul, not to the Philippian people, not to the people in Jerusalem, but to God. Whenever you give, whenever you make sacrifices, it is always to God. God is watching over us. If you belong to the Lord, then God is the one who you are working for. And that is why Paul then says, and my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Saints of God, when you are a sower, when you are giving, when you are a blessing, when you are making sacrifices for the sake of the kingdom of God, God will then supply your need. He will keep you supplied. In other words, you're gonna give it out and God says, I got more coming down. You give it out, I got more coming down. You give it out and more comes down. And every day, God will have a portion for you. Hallelujah. He will make provision for you. You will see the hand of God when you look up and be able to trust and know that God is got what you need and it's coming down. It's coming down. And so he says, now to our God and Father be the glory forever and ever. Amen. When God blesses you and I, it's so that God can get the glory. God gets the glory. The Lord is lifted up and he is exalted, and God is able to be the blessing. The psalmist put it this way in Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2. I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come from? Hallelujah. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. God is your source, saints of God. Never forget, it's not your job. It's not other people. It's not any other thing. The blessing has to come down. It comes down to the faithful. It comes down who are walking with God. It comes down to those who are on a journey through a desolate place into the place where God is, the place where they will meet the hand of God. You and I need to be able to trust God today. Can you trust him? Can you trust him? Can you trust him? Can you trust him? Oh, God is able. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. It's coming down. Exodus 16:4 says, the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. I don't know about you, saints of God, but I need God to rain down bread from heaven for me. I need God to be my source of provision. I need God to see my need and hear my cries and respond and say, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. It's personal. It's not just random. It's not just for a group of people, but it's personal. It's for you. It's for those who call upon the Lord. It's for those who are on the journey of life, who are following His will, following His word, who are obeying and applying His principles in their life, who are able to overcome. He says that you and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day. Saints of God, He is faithful every day. You will have a portion every day. You can trust in Him every day. You will be able to stand every day as God meets you in your place of need because you're faithful to Him. He says that I may test them. Oh, whenever the blessing of God comes, it's a test. The blessings are always a test. It's a test to see what you will do once you receive your blessing. How will you respond to your blessing? Will you use it in a way that is contrary to God and His will? Or will you use it according to His instruction? The blessings of God are for the purpose of determining whether or not you will walk in His instruction. Will you follow the ways of God today? Will you look up and receive of the blessings of God today? Will you look to God as the source of your strength, the maker of heaven and earth? Will you trust Him for your daily bread, for your provision? Will you trust God so that you will be able to have a witness and a testimony to pass on to your children and your children's children? Will you trust God? Will you trust God? Will you trust God? The blessings are coming down. The blessings are coming down, saints of God. Redirect your passions as you bring your fragments so that you can prevail beyond the times. Amen? Amen and amen. Hallelujah.
You rush, you are famous for.
Lord, He is your source. God is your source. And no matter what you're going through, no matter what your challenges are, God is the one you look to. We look up. We look up because the blessings of God are coming down. When Jesus breaks the bread in the story with the 5 loaves and 2 fish, it says He looked up. Saints of God, I pray that you look up. Every time you reap of the blessings of God, you must look up. You must look to God, the maker of heaven and earth, and give thanks to God. When Jesus was in the upper room with the disciples and they were having the Last Supper, Jesus broke the bread and it says, He looked to God and He said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." And Jesus always looked to God when provision was made. You and I need to learn how to look up. We need to learn how to look to God, how to trust in God. I dare you to try it. I dare you, young people, to try it. So often, young people live off their parents' faith and they have no faith of their own. They come to church because their parents make them come or tell them to come. But I'm telling you, it's because they have a story. Parents have a story. The parents that come to church can see the provision and the blessing of God. And you have a story. You're actually a part of a story. If you don't know your story, go back and ask your parents. Go ask your mother or your father. And all you have to do is watch carefully. You can watch in your own family and see how God is working. You can see what happens when you're faithful to God and when you're not. Some parents are faithful to God, some parents are not. And in either case, you can learn. You can learn. Sometimes you learn what not to do. Sometimes you learn what to do. But in either case, you learn. And you make sure you don't repeat the mistakes that your parents made in the past. And that's not always easy to do because the sins of the father and the mother are often passed on from one generation to the next. That is the mentality and the mindset of somebody who is not of God, is passing that mentality on to their children. And each person has to reflect that for themselves. But there are people in all of our lives that are representing either the way of the Lord or a way that's contrary to the Lord. And if you can't figure out what's going on, you're gonna be in big trouble. And you need to learn how to recognize when God is at work and when Satan is at work. You need to be able to know the truth of God and His Word. The Word of God is true, and the power of God is real. And when you obey Him and apply His Word in your life, you will reap the benefits of serving God. The whole story of the Israelites passing through the wilderness is exactly this lesson. And you and I, we need to learn this lesson. We serve the Lord not because we just want to serve the Lord. We serve the Lord because God is who He says He is. And because God is who He says He is, that's why we do what He tells us to do. The reason we come to church and don't stay home is because God said to come. He said as the days become more and more evil, it's going to be harder to come together, but you persevere even all the more as the days grow more and more evil. That's what God says. So we have to make sure that we do what the will of God is, that we are following the plan of God, that we might reap. Now listen, if you don't want the blessing of God in your life, if you don't want to experience the move of God and God's orchestration, not just for you, but for your children and your children's children, then go ahead. You can watch the news. You can listen to all the various mentalities and mindsets that people have in the world. You can allow confusion and chaos to rule your way of thinking. You can allow the world to dictate what is right and what is wrong, what is good and what is evil. You can take all of your cues from out there in the world of darkness and sin. But I will tell you, there's a price to be paid for that. There is a price to be paid. And when you follow God, when you obey His word, you will reap the blessings of divine covering. In the area that we are faithful, that's the area that we will be blessed. In the areas that we're unfaithful, that's the area that we will reap what we have sown. And we will always reap what we sow. And we all are reaping what we are sown. Your house is reaping what it's sown. My house is reaping what we've sown. Your house over here, you're reaping what you've sown. Everybody is reaping based on what they have sown. And you just look at your life's journey. Look at how your family has progressed. And you will see an exact correlation to the faithfulness of God is what you get. That's what you get. You have what you have because of what you did, because of the way you were thinking, because of the way you were living and acting. You have reaped what you've sown. So God is saying, trust me and live. Trust me. And you will see. You will see the faithfulness of God. If you can just do what the will of God is, you will reap the benefit of the kingdom of God. You will see it. You will see it. And just because it happened in your past doesn't mean your future has to stay the same. You can turn everything around. You can live like somebody who's in rebellion against God, or you can live like somebody who is expecting the blessing of God to come down. God is calling us to look up. He's calling us to be faithful and to hold on to the truths of God. If I were you, I would make sure that my children and my children's children knew the faithfulness of God so that they didn't have to live a life the way we lived, so that they would be able to learn and grow based on what we have lived and experienced, so that they could do better. They could be launched even more into the ways and the things of God, experiencing all of the blessings of God, rather than passing on the curse from one generation to the next. Because you're passing on something. You're either passing on the blessing or you're passing on the curse. You are the choosing element. You are the one who will determine what gets passed on. And so I'm begging with you. I'm pleading with you today. Choose wisely. Make sure that you're not allowing the mentality of evil and darkness to cause your thinking to be one that goes against the ways of God. Because it's not about what you believe, it's about what you do. You don't do anything that you don't believe. Everything you do demonstrates what you actually believe. You might tell people you believe God, but when you watch your life processes and the decisions you make, it may say something else. And so we can talk all we want. I've learned not to listen to people when they talk. I just watch. Because when you watch, the story unfolds for itself, because everyone reaps what they sow. And when you are faithful to God, and when you have faith in God, and when you trust in God, you see the fruit of that in your life. You see that build and come to fruition in your life. Whole families change, transform completely, and the work of God becomes the fruit of that family, of that household, of that person who has made the decision. But people who are in rebellion against God, you will see no fruit. They will not win people to Christ. They won't even talk about Jesus. They will pick up bad habits that are unhealthy and that are damaging, not only to them, but to the people around them. And if you're not careful, you will find yourself following in those ways. And that is why it says in the Word of God, bad company corrupts good morals. It's because if you surround yourself with people who are in rebellion against God, you too will find yourself in a state of rebellion. It's just a matter of time. Satan is the most patient being in the world, in the universe. He just little by little gets you to change. And he will wait out a lifetime for you to end up in hell while you talk about how much faith you have. And that is how Satan works. But you and I must learn so that we can overcome the strategies of the enemy. God has called us to recognize that he is our source. I'm not talking anything that you can't figure out and see for yourself. The Word of God says, test me now and see. You try it and see. You look, watch. We all have parents. Look at your parents' life. See how they live, what their life experience is. And then compare that to yours. And then think about your own self, because you're not gonna be honest with me. You're not gonna tell me the truth. You're not gonna tell anybody in this room the truth. You're only gonna tell us what you want us to know. You're gonna say all the things that sound like faith and believing, because that's what Christians do. But the real thing is in the fruit of their decision making. And when you watch what happens in a person's life, it tells the story. It paints the picture. It doesn't matter what anybody says. We just watch and see. And that is why the Word of God says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Because when you've tasted, you'll see. God is good. But you have to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. And so if you want to reap the blessings of God, you've got to look up. You have got to look to God. You've got to know that the blessings of God are coming down, and everything you need, God is giving you, not necessarily for now, but so that when the doors open, you will have what is needed. And when God makes a way, that you will be able to overcome. And I'm telling you, this is a powerful, important word for today, that God is calling you to get your house in order. Get your houses in order. Get your life in order. Allow the will and the word of God to take top priority in your life. Allow the truth of God to be manifested in your life. Work together with everyone in your house to be on one accord. And make sure that you're creating an atmosphere where the Spirit of God can work in your house. God has proven himself faithful. And I pray, I trust that you get it. And that you understand that in these last and evil days, you will need God. You will need God. Because it's going to get so hard, so difficult. The Word of God says one day people are going to be saying to the rocks, fall on us, we want to die. And you and I must be able to know the faithfulness of God so that we don't find ourselves hiding, withdrawing, and unable to fulfill the commandments of God, not able to win souls and impact people's lives for Christ. This is the call of God, saints. And you and I must hold to it. This is the 21st century. And that means it requires greater faith. Greater faith than what we already have. Because as the challenges and difficulties come, we need to learn how to trust God all the more. And so I pray that you understand that God is calling us and he is looking to provide so that we can have faith and trust in him. Do you trust the Lord today? Do you trust in the Lord? Hallelujah. Then let's be doers together. Together we can overcome every obstacle and we will see the faithfulness of God as he prevails in every aspect of our lives. Let's pray. Well, Lord, we are thankful for your word. And we ask, Lord, that you would provide for us, your people, that we would be able to hear and even see the faithfulness of God, the voice of the Spirit of the Lord, as you speak to us and give us direction. Help us, God, to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness so that we would be able to prevail and overcome every obstacle the world may bring our way. I pray, oh God, that you would sustain us and that you would keep us. Help us to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, so that we can go where you say to go, so we can avoid the places you say not to go, so that we can navigate through coronavirus or any other sickness and disease through a mentality that is contrary to the will and the ways of God, that we will be able to overcome and that we will be able to be a witness in the times of evil, that the glory of God would prevail in every aspect of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah, saints of God. The blessings of the Lord are coming down. Position yourself so that you can pass the test, that you are faithful to the instruction of the Lord. Amen. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. What you are.